I'm the howl lady. No, this is so true because I hear people talking about, and they're great ideas, but then I'm like, wait a second, with my clients, with myself, with my friends, with my daughter, like, wait a second, but how do I actually do the thing you're saying? And all of the different work that I do in the world is all about translating from that's a great idea to how are you actually going to step by step put this in practice?
Welcome to Making Polyamory Work. Hi, I'm Libby Sinbeck, and I want to thank you for joining me today. I'm a queer polyamorous mom and an integrative relationship guide, and I'm here to help people who want to live and love outside the status quo have extraordinary relationships, because I think relationships are at the core of our well-being as humans. I think love is why we're here and how we heal. Today is part two of my conversation with Julianne Taylor Shore. If you haven't listened to part one yet, this one actually works as a standalone, but I do recommend you listen to the other one, part one, which was last week. In this episode, we go into a listener question that I got asking me, what is a boundary violation? If boundaries are just between you and you, how does someone violate your boundaries and how does that work? It was a really great question and we explored it together. And then Jules generously walked through the six steps to setting a boundary that she outlines in her new book, which, by the way, I'll just say one more time, go get it. It's great. It's an easy read. I highly recommend it. You can get it anywhere books are sold. I'm really excited to share this conversation with you. And so without further ado, here we go. Jules, thanks for coming back.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
For part two. So I wanted to bring you back because for two reasons. First of all, I got a very interesting question on boundaries from a listener, and I wanted to talk about it with you and get your thoughts. Mm-hmm. But also because you are such a practice-oriented professional and that your book is full of practices. And by the way, I just got it in the mail and I've read half of it and I love it.
Oh, thanks, Libby.
But I thought maybe if you were willing, we could give my listeners a taste of some of what you mean when you say, like, this is actually how you set a boundary, not just like understanding why you can and understanding what one could look like, but like,
how? I'm the howl lady. No, this is so true because I hear people talking about, and they're great ideas, but then I'm like, wait a second, with my clients, with myself, with my friends, with my daughter, like, wait a second, but how do I actually do the thing you're saying? And all of the different work that I do in the world is all about translating from that's a great idea to how are you actually going to step by step put this in practice?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's so important because I know for me, a thing that I've observed and also experienced is that once you feel like you can say no, like a lot of boundary work is, you know, keeping things out that don't belong to you or not doing things that you don't want to do, you know, really not, you know, not forcing yourself to allow things that are not okay for you. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I've noticed is that sometimes when people realize they can say no, what they feel like they have to do then is to do it harshly.
Yeah.
And then it feels terrible and it feels not good. And then,
it's out of alignment with your integrity. Yeah. And then you're like, wait a second, this feels like crap, but we don't know another way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so then they back off of the boundary and you know, or they back off of the relationship. And so it's like, you know, there's this idea of like, how do I set a boundary, but also like keep the relationship is kind of where I wanted to go. So,
Yes. I love that. Yeah. All my boundaries are all about actually bringing us closer together.
Yeah.
Not pushing us further apart.
Well, now wait, say more about that.
So what I care about when it comes to closeness is you don't get to be close and not protected.
Yeah.
And so when I say, oh, a boundary is going to bring us closer together, I think about, oh, a boundary around this thing is going to make it more okay for me to spend more time with you.
because then I'm not worried that you're just going to, I'm going to have to just be so vulnerable that like, whatever, if you're having a bad day, that's going to go right into me and fuck up my day. I know what happens when you have a bad day.
Right. And it could be around things like, I'm thinking about a client actually that I was working with who was struggling because their partner was longing to have a work world that has these big moments of kind of hyper work. And for my client, that felt really hard. It felt hard for the family. It felt hard for their feeling like they weren't chosen in the relationship.
Oh,
And so actually setting boundaries around how much exposure the kids and my client had to those was a really important part of the boundary setting, right? Mm-hmm. And so actually, my client decided to start taking little trips with the kids when the hyperwork mode would happen. And it got to be a fun, exciting, lovely, close experience. And then when they got back, the partner was out of the hyperwork mode and celebrating what happened over the weekend with you and the kids. And what ended up happening was closeness was more present between the two partners because the partner wasn't ruminating, resenting, why are you up at 3 a.m. instead of in bed with me and doing this work thing? That wasn't happening anymore. And so now we're just celebrating coming back together. And haven't we been on these two separate adventures?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of... Instead of sitting in resentment, and now I can't stand you.
Yeah.
Right? And that's going to push us.
And then that dynamic being something that the family is absorbing. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So what I would suggest there is my client took on protecting themselves from that exposure so that they would not build that resentment, so that they would not want to reject the partner.
That's such a good example. There's another example that's coming to my mind, but I want to pause here because I think this is going to go into our listener question a little bit. So the listener question is about an episode that I did 2 weeks ago called Boundaries Aren't Magic. Mm-hmm. And the listener says, I admit I am confused. I may be misunderstanding, but an implicit part of the message that I get from that episode seems to be that it is basically impossible for someone other than you to violate your boundaries, since they are, as you say, between you and you, or at the very least, that we have absolutely no responsibility to avoid doing that. Further, it seems to me that there is perhaps not much of a point in communicating your boundaries to other people, only requests that stem from them. I would be very happy if you could clarify this. And I should add, the subject of the message was, what is a boundary violation? Mm. And I just find this question very interesting. It's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
And I have thoughts, but yes. I wanted to know.
Well, you use different vocabulary that I think is really, really helpful.
Yeah. So one of the things that this listener said in here is that there's no responsibility to avoid violating someone else's boundary. And that is so interesting because I think the answer is yes and no.
Mm.
I think it's yes and no. I think it is not my responsibility to hold other people's boundaries for them. What I do think is my responsibility is to check and see what's okay and not okay for them.
Right. And I think it's a question for your own integrity. This isn't a question. I think this is such an individual question. It's a question of respect.
Yeah.
How much do I respect other people? How much do I want to be kind to other people?
Yeah. Well, and sometimes like there's that tension of how much do I respect you and how much do I need what I need?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to come up with a good example of this. Oh, here's a good example.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband, he has an auditory processing difficulty. Mm. I don't like calling it a disorder. It's a difference where for him, two people talking on top of each other is like nightmare for his brain. Mm-hmm. Absolute nightmare for his brain. And I think if he could possibly humanly set a boundary that he doesn't ever have to experience that, That would be great for him.
I don't know if that's a thing. Yeah, that
sucks.
That's
not possible for human beings to do that. But honestly, it truly is like really disruptive to him. Mm-hmm. And he could say, like, at the table, I have a boundary that if people are talking on top of each other, I'm going to get up and sure. walk away from the table. Or, you know, if it's about wanting us to not talk on top of each other, then that would be a request.
Right.
And the thing is, it's a reasonable request. And sometimes we can't do it. It's like, sometimes mm-hmm. we just legit can't do it. We have 5 people in our household. People's ideas are just bouncing all over the place. And sometimes there's just, like, I was raised in a collaborative overlap kind of family. One of my partners mm-hmm. was too. My kids have a difficulty with impulse control sometimes. So it's sure. just going to happen. It's just yeah. going to happen. And, if someone were to say, if I do that, that I'm violating my partner's boundary because I did something that he didn't like. No. I'm not violating his boundary. Mm-hmm. I may not be being as kind and respectful as I can be because, mm-hmm. It is kinder to him to notice, hey, this is something that is really uncomfortable for you that you don't like. Mm-hmm. But where I would go, like, it is a violation of like someone's sanctity of their space is to touch them without permission.
Right.
You know, to touch someone with like, if I just went and grabbed someone and hugged them without checking to see if that was something they wanted, checking to see if they're ready for that, mm-hmm. then that I would consider like violating their personal space. You could even mm-hmm. say that violating their boundaries, but I like using Absolutely. The word violating consent because I didn't check. I just didn't check.
I love this vocabulary. Can we like super highlight? I want to draw a yellow highlighter around this. Consent violation.
Right. Well, because there's some things, because when I think of consent, I am taking something from someone else. Mm-hmm. I am imposing myself upon someone else rather than just existing in them, maybe mm-hmm. not enjoying my existence in some way.
Right.
You know, so like, if I'm in a shared space with my husband and I interrupt somebody or I interrupt him and he has to experience that, mm-hmm. like neither of us have a right to the air, you know?
Right.
Like he has as much of a right to want not overlap and I mm-hmm. have as much of a right to want overlap. And so right. there's nobody who just like wins there. But in terms of my husband's bodily autonomy, mm-hmm. that's his, that belongs to him. I don't get right. to touch him without asking.
Right.
Or, you know, having a pre-agreement around how that is okay.
How that looks. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So I would say there's when that first question, what is a boundary violation? Is there yeah. such a thing as a boundary violation? I would say, yeah. And I love your language around it. It's a consent violation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you could do that in a physical way, like you're talking about. You could do that in a mind-changing sort of way, oh, yeah. mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So if you want someone and try to get them to feel and think differently than they do, I would say that feels like a boundary violation
to me. It's intrusive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is really a question of what's my responsibility when it comes to being with other people and not being boundary violating or consent violating. I would say it's just it comes back to a question of respect and kindness.
Although, we're going to get in the weeds here for just a second.
I love it.
I'm just
I love this. Weeds.
Well, I know you do. I'm just wondering, like, because you say that, like, it's not okay or it's intrusive to try to get someone to think or feel differently than how they do. Mm-hmm. But then where does trying to influence someone come in? Like,
I love
you know,
this.
I really mm-hmm. want Chinese food tonight. You're saying you want pizza. Ooh, could I convince you mm-hmm. to just go get Chinese with me? Like, should we never convince anybody of anything?
Oh no, or try I think to this is great.
Persuade anyone?
I want us to own both sides of it. I'm a both and thinker. Uh-huh. So I love influence and no control. Mm. And I think the difference for me is saying, yeah, I have influence in the world and I'll use my voice or, you know, use the way I show up in this world to attempt to influence people. I wrote a book.
Yeah, you want to influence people.
I want to influence. I am attempting to put a thought out in the world. I hope it influences some folks. Mm-hmm. I actually do, of course. And that's very different than the energy of, I need to get you to think like me for me to be okay.
Right.
I need to get you to agree to this thing for us to be able to be connected. So I think there's a difference in intention and willingness to be in the weeds with somebody and to have, well, one of you wants pizza and one of you wants Chinese food tonight. Somebody is going to be disappointed or in some manner.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Either you're going to be disappointed around not getting the food you want, or you're going to be disappointed about not eating the same meal, or we're not going to be able to avoid the disappointment on this one. Right. So I think there's some space where, I think it's about how we're doing it and what our intention is.
Well, I think actually now that I'm listening to you talk, it goes back to consent.
Uh-huh.
Right. Like, so consent, I like to use the Fries model of consent. So consent is freely given, reversible, enthusiastic, informed, and specific. You know, I reverse the I and the E, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. And so like when I'm thinking about like when you're trying to persuade someone, you can't use coercive.
Right.
You know, it has to be freely given. Like you need to give them the freedom to say no. Mm-hmm. If no is not on the table and really there's high amount of consequences for saying no, mm-hmm. then it's not, then you are, I think, being intrusive and inappropriate. And the thing is, that can be so subtle. And I mean, it's,
my question really is to make that U-turn. And when I say U-turn, I just mean turn inwards towards yourself. What is your true intention here? Is your intention to invite them into a different way of thinking with you? Or is your intention to control their mind in some way? Is your intention to be coercive in some manner? Because you could use any tool in the book I wrote or any other one out there, you can use it in a way that's controlling and coercive. And you could use it in a way that's invitational and respectful and kind. So I can't, you know, I cannot make some tool that's impossible to use badly.
That's not a thing.
And I own that's not a thing.
Well, so I think maybe we've answered the question of like, we have no responsibility to avoid violating someone else's boundaries. I think we do.
I think we do have responsibility
to check with ourselves, check our intentions, and be with our integrity, and honor and respect the other person, show them care, which might mean, I mean, and I really want everyone to hear this, actually. I think it's a very good practice, actually, to check and see what someone else's boundaries might be instead of just waiting for them to voice them. I actually think it's a really good idea. Is it okay if I pay you a compliment? I say that all the time, actually, because some people don't like receiving compliments.
Right.
And just giving them the chance to say yes or no, even if the answer is yes, gives them a chance to prepare. I'm a big fan. Big fan.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, but the example you gave with that person and their partner who had the intense work time and then that one, that's not a bite. Like there's no violating of boundaries happening there.
Right.
There's this person is choosing, I don't want to be around this. This is causing me harm. I can't ask my person not to work and not to go in their hyper work mode. Or maybe I have tried to work with that and tried to negotiate it.
Right.
And really, this is just what they need. And so then it's up to me.
And this is really a great example because there had been a lot of requests and a lot of shifting actually from the other partner to make it less invasive to the family.
Right. Right.
And the nature of their work, it's just true about how it's just true. There were hyper work moments that really took them out of the family system for 3 to 5 days at a time.
Yeah.
And instead of doing 20 days at a time, there had been a lot of shifting so that it wasn't 20 days at a time. It was down to 3 to 5 days at a time. Right.
But for those 3 to 5 days,
it really was like
this. Get out of there. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, well, and I guess the thing that I want to say to this listener is that I'm a big fan of direct request, actually. And in fact, I actually am going to have an episode coming out in a few weeks about how I decide when to make a direct request, when to negotiate, and when to set a boundary. Because those are very different strategies of getting a need met.
They are.
And, but I'm a big fan. I kind of have a hierarchy actually of like, I will always try request first.
Yes.
Unless that just, I can tell already that's not available. you know, or I don't want to be in a back and forth negotiation with that person because I'm just not desiring of being that close with them. So I have a real hierarchy of how we do this. So I would say a lot of times you're right. It isn't about a boundary. It actually isn't. Most of the time it's not. Most of the time it's a request. And then the person says yes or no to that request. And whether someone's going to say yes or no to your request does impact how you feel about how much they care about you.
Yep, it can. That's where that psychological boundary can come in, and we can do some thinking around, oh, well, how does that make sense for them, their no, in a way that has maybe nothing to do with me.
Oh, that's a good point.
But I understand completely that getting a no can be painful. And I'm not going to ever be able to prevent that part. It's disappointing. Right.
Well, right. And I guess in the example of like my husband, like you said, sometimes it's just, it's not a matter of I don't want to, or I don't care enough. It's that like, I literally sometimes cannot stop the thought from coming out of my mouth. Totally. Like I work on it. We all work on it. The request has been made, but it just doesn't always, it's not always possible. And, and so I feel like when it's not possible to have a request be agreed to, or when it's just not in that realm, you know, when it really just does belong to me, is when you would set a boundary and then keep it. And I guess
I'm with you on that, by the way. I'm like, yes. I don't start my relational care for myself with boundaries.
Thank God. Oh my God, that would be so
awful. Harsh. Awful. Well, and you don't need to do that. Right?
Well, and the horrible thing is actually, and I want to just say this because there are people in the polyamory spaces who say, oh no, I don't make agreements with my partners. I just have boundaries. And I was like, that sounds so, it just sounds so disconnected to me to operate that way. And I guess I want to say though, there are people where their relational comfort zone is in like, I don't actually want to negotiate anything with anybody. I just don't want to do that. They're more on the solo poly end of the spectrum where they just don't have a lot of entanglements and they really are prioritizing freedom and autonomy.
That's great.
And so they just don't want to be in that messy negotiating, making a request, having to deal with it when that request is agreed to and then not done, all of that stuff. They just want to deal with that. And it's just, I just want to say like, that is not the only way to do it. And I wouldn't even say it's completely not right for me.
So. Yeah. I can totally celebrate that for folks who want that and just be clear with yourself and clear with the people you're with about that. And that's great. Yay. And a lot of people want more entanglement than that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, because boundaries are great, but there are limits. They can't do everything.
They won't do everything. No, and I'm more of a direct request, negotiation, do all of that first. And then if there's still something going on that's not okay for you and you need protection, then it's time to figure out what action you're gonna take to do something that is actually protective for you.
Yes. And this is where I want us to talk about a practice. So Jules, how do I do that?
Right.
How?
I have six steps for you.
You just said magic words. Six steps. That's great.
Six steps. So I'm going to list them all, boom, 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 and then we'll go over them a little bit more in depth. Okay. So one, find your big why. Two, figure out how you're going to actually say it. Three, anticipate potential responses. Four, anticipate your response to those responses. Five, create a plan for greeting yourself well whenever your feelings are coming up. And six, keep with the boundary you originally set. Ooh. So, step one, big why. So this is, you know what? Boundaries are hard to set. So you better have a reason to do so that has enough emotional oomph that it'll carry you back, carry you through, right? Mm-hmm. This thing.
Mm-hmm. And I've got a good example here.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if
I love it. Let's do it.
So my example is from my own past with one of my partners. Mm-hmm. I did not get along with their other partner. This would be called a metamour. I didn't get along with my metamour.
Yeah.
She and I just we really struggled to communicate. We really struggled to get along. And she had a lot of jealousy around my relationship with her partner and a lot of other stuff. It was just very messy. And I had a lot of stuff with her too. It was not a one-way thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we had tried direct communication. I had tried a lot of direct request. And at a certain point, I had actually gotten the message, I don't actually want to communicate with you directly about anything. Like, I'll interact with you in shared spaces, whatever, but I don't want to communicate with you about anything. If you don't like something I did, I don't want to hear about it, and I'm not going to work it out with you. Like, that was very clearly communicated to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then any attempts by me to do that was not only made her upset. So she was attempting to set a boundary with me. Please don't communicate with me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But in a, let me tell you what behavior I want from you, you know, which is actually a request.
That was actually a request.
Right. Which, you know, I was told by her and by my partner, like, this request is really, like, really please keep this request. And I was like, okay, mm-hmm. I can keep that request. That's fine. But then mm-hmm. what do I do when we're in a shared space and she says something mm-hmm. really shitty and it hurts my feelings? Mm-hmm. And I can't say, hey, that was really shitty. That hurt my feelings. Can we make that better? Not available.
Yeah. Yeah. So first, why? What is a big reason why you would like to be doing this differently?
Well, I don't want to be in a not good relation with her. Like, I know that we can't be friends. That's obviously not available, but I don't want to be pissed at her. And I don't want to then have that leak over into my beautiful relationship with my partner. Like, it feels really important that our relationship, like, isn't, like, disrupted and, you know, racked by this friction between her and I. I don't want that. And she doesn't want that either, you know?
Right.
And so her attempt is like, I don't want any contact. Mm-hmm. For me, that feels bad. But yeah, so I want to figure out my why would be, yeah, I want my relationship with my partner to feel good and I don't want to be mad at her.
Yeah. And those, exactly. So it, if you let yourself feel that, like, oh yeah, I do not want to live pissed.
Yeah.
I do not want to live pissed.
I have, you know, respect for her and desire for care for her and, you know.
And I do not want any of that pissed that I have been dealing with to affect my beautiful relationship with my partner.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. So do those feel oomphy enough for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. Two, what is the not okay thing? Which is our action step. What is the not okay thing? Like, for example, she says something shitty in a shared space and then you don't get to work it out with her. You don't get to say anything to her. She's actually asked that. And you've actually agreed to it, which you may change your mind on that. But at this moment, you've agreed to it. Okay. So what do you actually want to do to protect yourself in that kind of situation? What is okay to do?
This is so hard, right? Mm-hmm. Because it has to be something that I do.
Yes.
It can't be something that she does. I can't that would be a direct, with me.
That would be a direct request. You can ask, but it sounds like that's a no.
She's a no. So she can't work it out with me. She can't not be who she is. And sometimes she says things that are upsetting to me or does things that are upsetting to me. Mm-hmm. I think then that means I have to minimize my interactions with her because if I don't have a way to work it out with her and I don't have a way to not be hurt if something that she says hurts me, then I think I have to avoid the experience of her saying something hurtful to me. Like, that would be protective of both of us, actually. Mm-hmm. It would protect her from hurting me and it would protect me from being hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. And so would this be like a change in how often you're in shared spaces with her?
Oh no, I think just not at all.
Not at all. Gotcha. At all. So you would actually choose then to not go to the events where there's shared spaces.
I would not go if she was going to be there.
Okay. Gotcha. So do you need anything from your partner around that?
Yeah. I think because they live together, right? Or they did at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, this is years ago.
Yeah.
But they were living together. And so I wouldn't go to their house if she was there.
Got it. Gotcha.
And then, yeah, I wouldn't go to a party with him if she mm-hmm. was there. Mm-hmm. I think I could be at a party not with him if she was there. Mm-hmm. But I think if he was there and she was there, then I don't mm-hmm. think I would want to be there. Mm-hmm.
So you maybe need, as part of this boundary, to make a direct request from your partner to warn you about where she's going to be.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And also he would need to, I mean, really the boundary would most need to be expressed with him, because it would be a change in expectation, because yes. previously we were kind of switching off spending time at each other's houses. And mm-hmm. I would basically be saying, I'll only be at your house if she's not there.
Right.
Which she's there frequently enough. And you mm-hmm. know, so I would just yeah. be at his house a whole lot less.
Right. So this would be a boundary you're going to set with your partner yeah. where you're saying, it's okay with me that we have this poly relationship. It's okay with me that you're with this partner. Mm-hmm. It's not okay with me to be able to share space with her and not be able to communicate with her.
Right.
So what I'd like to do instead is not be in spaces, like not go over to the house when she's there, not go to parties where you're both there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Does that feel okay to say?
Yeah.
To the
yeah.
Partner?
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're, mm-hmm. I'm already jumping ahead to the next step, because mm-hmm. I'm like, I know I'm thinking about what he would say or what he would do or how he would yeah, respond.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah, no,
that feels really right and doable. Mm-hmm. It's a little uncomfortable because it feels a little mean, I guess. Like it feels a little harsh. Like mm-hmm. I just don't want to be around her. But also, even as I'm imagining it, like I feel calmer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just it's not okay with me to share space with somebody if I can't communicate to them when things are hard.
And that just feels so clear to me. Yeah. Like that just feels so clear to me. Like if I can't do this,
yeah. then yeah. I can't pretend that we're in a relationship when we're not, basically.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's
right.
It. Yeah.
Right. So then you got to step three immediately, which, by the way, happens for everybody. The second we even anticipate what we're going to say, we worry instantly about how the other person's going to respond. Exactly. Yeah. That's common. Yeah. So yeah. How might the other person respond? How might your partner respond when you made this really clear?
What I'm imagining is he would agree that that's a good idea, mm-hmm. actually. I think he'd be disappointed. I think where mm-hmm. it's going to get uncomfortable is not when the first time that I communicate it with him, mm-hmm. but probably there's going to be a moment when
you're going to
want to be together.
It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we want to be together, and then she's going to disrupt that in some way. And so we're not going to get to see each other mm-hmm. because I'll have to say no to the invitation because I don't want to mm-hmm. interact with her.
Okay. And what?
And that's going to be hard for me too.
Ooh, yeah. Oof. That's what, now go back to your big why. Every moment, right? That's why we have our big why set first, right? Go back and
yep.
greet that with, uh-huh. yep, this yep. is hard. And oh, also, yep. I don't want to live
pissed
off.
But I won't be pissed at her if I don't go.
I don't want to live pissed off. I want to protect my partnership, right? And then yep. in that moment when you had to stick to this thing, what would he do or feel that would be so hard for you?
Oh, I mean, it would just be his face, honestly. Like he might get a little down.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's actually like a person who really doesn't push, isn't like mm-hmm. a boundary pushing type mm-hmm. person. Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually like, I actually think he needs to do more pushback as a person sometimes, but still like I can, mm-hmm. you know, I think I would see the disappointment and yeah. I would want to fix it.
Perfect.
And then...
Okay, great. Look, you jumped to step four. Exactly. So here's that want to fix it energy, right? And that want to fix it energy, is it in your body? Is it the thought? Is it a feeling?
Yeah. I mean, I feel it in my chest mm-hmm. and like, I feel this like leaning forward, like, right. oh, I want to care for you. I want to yeah. make it all better.
And
you know,
if you yeah. followed through with that feeling, what would that feeling have you do next? Would it have you agree to go somewhere you shouldn't be going yes. in order to take care of yourself? What do you do with that fix it feeling?
I mean, I'd push myself. I'd push mm-hmm. myself to be around her okay. when I wouldn't feel good.
Okay.
And I'd probably feel kind of on edge. the whole time that I was doing that.
Yeah. Well, you just did a thing that you had promised yourself you wouldn't.
Right.
To take care of yourself. Yeah. So I get, you broke your own consent there. So I get why you'd have some tension, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So great. So feel that fix it energy. And now we're going to move on to step five. Five, how are you going to greet that fix it energy with enough kindness and enough containment that it does not drive your next move?
Ooh, okay. How am I going to greet that fix it energy? It's not my job to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't fix it. Mm. I can't fix it. I can't fix it. I can't fix it, and it's not mine to fix. And what I really need to do is be compassionate with me that I can't fix it. And then also compassionate with him, because I know that's painful.
Of course, this is hard. This is hard for you. This is hard for him. This is hard all around.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's interesting what's coming up.
It's a hard situation.
Yeah. Well, what's coming up is like, I want to just, instead of trying to fix it, just show him like care in that moment. Yeah. I think that that feels soothing to me, because it's not fixing it, but at least it's not saying, sucks to be you, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Instead, I kind of would just want to be like, yeah, this is hard and I wish I could go. And like, I want to offer him some comfort while also holding my boundary.
Yeah, this is hard. I wish I could go. Yeah. I really know it's not the best thing for me.
Yeah. And I think I also have to remind myself that I'm not being unreasonable or harsh or mean. Like, I'm not being,
that's right.
I'm not being, overly rigid, you know. Yeah. I think that, like, or you know, or I'm not, or it's not a power play. That's not, it's not anything like that. You know, it's not, I think this it's not mean.
Exactly. So remind yourself of your big why. So a lot of times in step five, folks remind themselves of their big why.
Yeah.
And sometimes of something they discovered in step two, like we're going to do right now. So you greet that fix it energy with compassion. And of course, this is hard all around.
Yeah. And she's going to probably feel bad too. Interestingly enough, I'm sure, like, at least I'm imagining that, you know, I won't see it. I won't hear it, but I'm making up that, that like he might be mad at her. And then she's going to feel bad because I'm not showing up, and then I'm going to create tension in their relationship. Oof. And I think I just need to say that doesn't belong to me.
Right.
That doesn't belong to me. And if somebody, cause I mean, the thing, I guess now that I'm thinking about it more, it's like, oh, is that going to be received as like a punishment, you know, is it, you know, because she doesn't want to interact with me.
Well, it may be, it may not. Yeah. My question is not that, actually. My question is, are you doing this to punish her? Are you doing this to punish him?
No, not at all. Not at
you
all.
You cannot help how they receive that.
Yeah, that's true.
So they may say like, it's a punishment, but are you doing it as a punishment? That's my question. Nope.
No.
Okay.
No.
So
absolutely not.
The fix-it energy needs a little compassion. Reminder, this is not a punishment. This is not, And you're doing it to protect yourself from anger. You're doing it to protect your partnership. And you're doing it because, and this is what we learned in step two when we went through it for you, because for you, it is not actually possible to be in close relationship with someone and also not speak to them when things are hard.
Yes.
That's actually that's just not a possibility for you.
It just doesn't work for me. No,
you just can't do it. Right. Mm-mm. That just doesn't fit in your integrity and your relational well-being to
That's not how I am.
Okay.
So just kind of reminding myself, like, I'm staying in my own integrity of what it means to be in relationship.
That's right.
Yeah.
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 And that may not match everybody else's idea of what it means to be in relationship. And that's okay. We don't have to control them for you to be okay. And then, now, what would you say to your sweet partner in that moment where, you're both going to be disappointed because you're going to say, no, I'm not going to go.
No, I'm not going to come. I really wish I could, but this is what's right for me.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see you the next time I see you.
Yeah. How's that feel?
It feels good.
And hard and good, both things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because I mean, yeah. like I might want to go to the thing, you know?
Yeah. I'm saying yes to disappointment when I say yes to boundaries.
Yeah.
People do not get this about boundaries. I think if you are going to set boundaries, you are going to experience more disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that's in part going back to what we were just saying about, it's so lovely to make a request and get a yes, mm-hmm. and then have that be a mutual thing. Mm-hmm. And a boundary is not mutual. It's unilateral. Yeah. You're deciding for yourself, which means you don't get that mutuality. And in fact, right. you might get like, I don't love that boundary. I wish that boundary were different. I don't like, you know, so mm-hmm. of course it's going to feel disappointing if what you're trying to do is create closeness, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Oh, but just even, I will tell you, like I set this boundary. This is exactly what I did.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was hard mm-hmm. at first. Mm-hmm. It was really hard at first mm-hmm. because yeah, a lot of times what was happening is I got a little less time with my partner. Mm-hmm. I got a little less time because there were times when it just wasn't possible for me to see him without her around.
Yeah.
And so there was a shift in like, it wasn't totally fair either because it mm-hmm. meant that more dates were happening at my house, if we were at someone's house than mm-hmm. at his, which just kind of wasn't fair. Mm-hmm. But in terms of it being equal, you know, I guess it's mm-hmm. fair in the sense that it was what we needed was appropriate, yeah. but anyway, but there was this sense of like equality that I was like noticing, but ultimately mm-hmm. it really like de-escalated all of the shit that had been going on.
Oh, great.
And we were able to focus on our relationship instead of on mm-hmm. this other situation that just wasn't working. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was disappointment around like, because what we really, I think all of us wanted was like this more kitchen table dynamic where we could all mm-hmm. do all kinds of stuff together. And instead, I really had to just like take care of myself and accept what was available and let go mm-hmm. of what wasn't. But it was hard.
And worth it.
And both. Totally worth it. Totally worth mm-hmm. it. And I mean, that relationship is now we've been together 7 years at this point.
Yeah.
And I don't think our relationship could have survived if I hadn't set that boundary, actually.
Yeah. So this is what I mean. Boundaries bring us into more connection.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Well, and to go back to the listener, like there's no way she could have violated that boundary.
That's impossible. Like,
it was my boundary.
There's no way your partner could have violated that boundary.
Yeah, if she was there, I would leave. That's it. Uh-huh. That's it.
Yeah.
Now I could say, hey, I'm going to be at this thing. Please don't come. I can't control her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a direct request. That's not a boundary.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 Direct request. It's only a direct request if no is okay. If no is not okay, you just made a demand and you get to decide whether demands are okay with you or not. I don't get to say that, but I know for me, demands are not a thing that I do.
Well, I mean, good luck with that. I mean, if you have somebody who is, if you're making demands of them and they're accepting them, I do think that, you know, there are times when maybe that will be okay. But I think if that's the way you're operating your relationship, you might wear that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. So that's amazing. I think I want to highlight the things that I think are amazing about the 6 steps that you outlined there that I think I don't hear a lot of people doing when they talk about boundaries. Like the most powerful thing, there's 2 steps in that that I think are the most powerful, which is anticipate what the other person is going to do and what you are going to feel about what they're going to do in response to your boundary. Because I think a lot of times, maybe people like, you know, maybe in the subconscious part of them are anticipating what's going to happen, but they don't necessarily bring it forward and put it in front of them and say, okay, this is how they might respond. And this is how I'm going to feel. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is like, and how am I going to care for myself so that I can keep the boundary.
Yes.
And I think a way a lot of people care for themselves is one of 2 ways, either if they don't consciously create a care plan for themselves, they're going to just put up a wall.
Yes.
Like they're going to emotionally disconnect as a way of protecting themselves from whatever somebody might be feeling about their boundary. And then of course it does feel mean. Right. Then of course the boundary does feel mean
and it feels does break connection.
And it does break connection.
Right. Right. But the other thing we do is we fold, right?
Exactly. That was the second thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we fold and we don't keep it. Mm-hmm. And then we start to feel like our words are meaningless because we've made them so.
Totally. And I'm thinking back in different moments in my life, you know, I write about boundaries because I need to work on boundaries. That's why we do the thing we need, right? But I think back, that was like my main way of dealing was that second one would fold. And what I would end up in is shame pit after shame pit after shame pit, mm-hmm. where I feel like I failed myself. And I was right that I had failed myself, right? I had not done protection. I had given in and done whatever did not feel good to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that just swirl of unworthy shame sort of feeling was in me kind of constantly.
Oh, yeah.
But I also didn't want to be harsh. I didn't want to wall off. So I wanted to figure out, so how could I do this a different way?
Yeah.
It doesn't just feel like harshness, mm-hmm. but does feel like, whew, is it possible maybe to say what isn't okay and stick to it?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And notice
we
do all these six steps away from the situation.
Yes.
So that you're prepared for the situation once you actually do the thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yay.
Thank you for sharing this with me.
You are so welcome.
No joke, y'all, go buy the book. It's not a very long book. It's a very quick
read.
It's a beautiful piece of work. And I love all of the practices in it. And if you're listening to this and you're a client of mine, you're going to probably get one in the mail.
Oh,
because I just think it's a wonderful book. So go buy the book. It comes out
December
1. It's actually out now on Amazon, I think. Yeah. Amazon released it early.
It's a fancy thing Amazon, I guess, gets to do. I don't know how that works. But if you ordered it on Amazon, it's already in your mailbox probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can also get it on bookshop.org or get it at your local bookstore. And if they don't have it, ask for it.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Okay. And December 1st is around the corner. Yeah. So
thanks, Jules, for coming back on my show. I'm so glad you're here in the world.
You're very welcome. And thank you for having me back. And I just, lots of love to you.
Thanks. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you have any thoughts about what I've said today or a question for the show, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on Instagram as ThatPolyamMom, or you can go to the show's website, makingpolyamorywork.com, and submit a question there. I'll also say that if you're loving my podcasts, but you are looking for more support, I do this for a living. I am an integrative relationship guide. So I help individuals, couples, and groups have amazing relationships. You can find out more about my offerings on my website. If you love this podcast, please share it with your friends, your networks, your Facebook groups, your coworkers, your family, etc. And make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Also, if you listen on iTunes, I always love getting reviews. It literally makes my day. And it'll also help more people find the show. Making Polyamory Work is created by me, Libby Sinback. It is edited by Finn of the Normalizing Non-Monogamy podcast and hosted on the Spotify podcasts platform. Vanda Leon manages the website and posts the transcripts. Thank you, everyone, and see you next time.